Luke chapter number 11 in your Bibles this morning as we take another look at this amazing prayer that we find in Luke chapter number 11. All of us have had situations where we have tried to talk to somebody, and that person we tried to talk to were really good about talking about themselves. And you try to talk to them, and all they want to do is talk about themselves. And they ramble on about their life and their kids and their interests, and all the time expecting that you're going to be so thoroughly enthralled and interested in everything about them that you will listen with rapt attention, totally amazed at the wonderful life that they're living. And then sometimes some people will be taught that good people skills will teach you to show interest in the other person instead of expecting them to be consumed with you. Here's my question this morning. In your prayer life, do you barge into God's presence to tell Him all about yourself and all about the things you want Him to do and all about the things that you expect Him to give to you, expecting God to be thoroughly enthralled with your life and just on the edge of the seat listening to you talk about yourself? Because so many times that's what prayer is to people. It's a way to cash in on my relationship and get what I want from God. How's your prayer life doing? What is prayer to you? You know, prayer is all about a wonderful time of communicating with God and God communicating with man. Prayer is not a means of cashing in on what we want God to do for us. And prayer time is just a time to just tell God about what we want, what we expect, what we need, and to ask Him to do all the things we want Him to do. It's not a means of moving God into the realm of giving us what we want. But rather, prayer is a mechanism that moves us into the realm of God. Prayer is the mechanism that moves me into the realm of the presence of God, into the realm of the purpose of God, and into the realm of the pleasure of God. That's His name, His kingdom, and His will. Prayer is a exercise of communication that brings me into God, doesn't bring God into my life. Oh, it does that eventually, but that's not its focus. Its focus is, how can I be brought into God's existence? How can I become enthralled with the person of God? Hallowed be thy name. How can I be consumed with the purpose of God? His kingdom come. How can I be overwhelmed with the pleasure of God? His will be done on earth. You see, prayer is not a mechanism of getting from God what I want. Telling God all about myself and telling Him all the things I want Him to do is in order for me to have what I want in my life. But rather, prayer is the way that we grow as Christians. It's the way we're brought into the reality of God. It's the way we become consumed with God. Prayer is amazing. And so, Jesus Christ, in this amazing prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, thy, before we pray, us. Thy name, thy kingdom, thy will, before we pray, my sustenance, my daily bread, my forgiveness, and my protection. And my sustenance, and my forgiveness, and my protection come to life when my life is consumed with the presence, purpose, and pleasure of God. And prayer is the way that's accomplished. Prayer is the avenue into spiritual maturity. It is the gateway to becoming Christ-like. It's the mechanism of spiritual growth. And so Jesus Christ taught us this amazing prayer. So I got to ask you the question, how's your prayer life? We are jumping into this prayer. Last week we jumped into it, and the next few weeks we're going to be looking at this amazing teaching on prayer. We learned last week that this same teaching on prayer occurs twice, and it occurred early in the ministry of Jesus up in Galilee, where Jesus Christ was correcting false concepts of prayer. And then now, as he nears the end of his ministry down in Judea, Jesus Christ teaches the same content of information, but for a different purpose. He's not correcting apostate praying methodology. He is now teaching his disciples how to get close to him, how to mature and grow, how to develop in their Christian lives. And so the little bluff, the theme, bottom line up front, the theme of the message is this: talk to him about him. Don't barge into his presence to talk to him about you. Talk to him about him. About your passion for his greatness, and that his greatness might be manifest all around you. Which begs the question, is God's name hallowed in your heart, in your family, in your office, in your community, in your country? Is the name of God hallowed everywhere you go? That's the prayer request. Top prayer request. Number one prayer request. Jesus said, when you go to the Father, say, Our Father which art in heaven. And the first prayer request, hallowed be thy name. Hey, by the way, just as a little aside, not a major thing, but something that may be of benefit to some of you. If when I read that text, if your Bible didn't read that way, if I read a lot more than what you were reading in your Bible, there's a reason for that. Most modern translations today are translated from Greek Bibles that came about more recently in Christian history based on a small number of manuscripts that have a lot of stuff left out. And so if your Bible left out some of what I read, it's because your Bible was translated from a Greek Bible based on a small number of manuscripts that leave a lot of stuff out. That's why we use the King James Version here at Community Baptist Church, because it's translated from the Greek Bible that's been used throughout Christian history that is based on the vast majority of handwritten manuscripts that have been studied and compiled. And that Greek Bible has what I read in it, as opposed to a shortened version with some phrases left out. So we read in our Bibles in Luke 11 that Jesus Christ said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so we want to focus on that just for a few moments about this. You know, we come to God. We learned last week that prayer is a family matter. We come and say, Our Father which art in heaven. And really we could say, Daddy, who lives way up there in heaven. And there's a familiarity, there's an innocence, there's a closeness, there's an intimacy. We don't address God as a austere creator of all, high, majestic, high and lifted. We go and we say, hey, Dad, can I talk to you about something? There's an intimacy, it's a family matter. But yet, lest the family intimacy of our communication with God lead us to an undue irreverence for God, because He is everything we sang about this morning. He is a majestic, austere, awesome creator of the universe. And lest our familiarity calling Him, hey, Dad, could I talk to you? Lest that lead us to an undue irreverence, the very first prayer request is, may your name be hallowed everywhere I go. Which gives us the perfect balance of an intimate, passionate family relationship with God and a being consumed with the majesty of His name, the person who He is, and our passion that His greatness might be known. And so the request is simply, hallowed be thy name. What does it mean? How do you do that? How do you pray in your practical and your personal prayer life? How do you apply that to your prayer life? How do you pray, hallowed be thy name? Do you just repeat that phrase, hallowed be thy name? Is it just something you quote to God, hallowed be thy name? What is Jesus Christ doing? What we learn from this that we call the Lord's Prayer is that Jesus is teaching, not teaching a prayer to be prayed, he's teaching to pray. And he gives us a skeleton upon which to hang all of the substance of our prayer life. And the Lord's Prayer is a list of prayer topics. In other words, it's the subjects that God wants to communicate with us about. God wants us to come to him and say, Dad, can I talk to you about your name in my world? And then begin to talk to him about that. That's a subject he wants to commune with us about. How do we do that? How do we go about praying, hallowed be thy name? Well, I want to suggest to you that that subject can be played out in three conversations that revolve around this subject of praying, hallowed be thy name. What is this? You see a 1, 2, and 3 on your little worksheet this morning. And as we look at this worksheet, we're going to look at these three conversations. The first conversation will revolve around the question, what is his name? Because a name is important. You know, we use names. You have a name. Each of you have a name. But that name only has value if it is used as a substitute for or an identification or an identifier of all that you are as a person. So when your name is called out, what comes into the mind of those who hear your name is not the letters of the alphabet that are arranged to make that name. No, it's you that name identifies. It's your person. It's your character. It's your personality. It's your the relationships you have with different people. The name is a identifier of all you are as a person. And so when Jesus Christ says, I want you to talk to the Father about the hallowedness of his name, he's saying, I want you to spend some time talking to your Father who is way up in heaven about his person being hallowed in your world. The word hallowed means to be set apart as distinct and special. It means to become holy or to become sanctified. It's got a purpose. It's got a value. And it's set apart to be used for a particular function. It is hallowed for a particular function or purpose. Something that is hallowed. To talk to God the Father about his person being hallowed is to talk to God the Father about him as a person being set apart as someone who is special in my world. Hallowed be thy name. To have a conversation with our Father about his person being holy. And this moves us into the realm of continual God consciousness. If we're continually talking to God about his person being special in my world, then I'm constantly thinking about God in this situation, God in this situation, God in this relationship, God in this environment. I'm consumed with a consciousness of the presence of the person of God in every aspect of my living. May your person be set apart as hallowed in my world in which I live. This brings me to a consciousness of God's involvement in every relationship I have, every person I speak with, every job that I do, every function that I fulfill. God is here. I heard a preacher read a poem from the British Isles. It was a poem about God's presence. And he talked in the poem, he was going through different parts of London, I believe it was.
He talked about Hyde Park. Hyde Park's in London, isn't it? He talked about different parts of London, and he said he would stroll through Hyde Park at a certain time of day in the colors and the shadows, and he would talk about the presence of God there. And he talked about a fish market. And the gist of the poem was that everywhere he went, he saw the presence of God. That's what this prayer request is. God, that your name will be special, that your person will be present and special in every aspect of my life. Whether I'm at work, at church, out playing a ball game, wherever I am, you are on display everywhere. And whatever is happening is either revealing the holiness of your person or it's militating against the holiness of your person. And as a godless culture, in its actions, in its entertainment, in its anything, militates against the holiness of the person of God, my prayer is, God, help us to make your person holy again in this realm of living. God, help us that in our family, that your person might be unique and special at the dinner table, in the family room at the television set, at the desk, looking at the computer screen, that in every realm of my life, that you and your person might be unique and special and present in my life. And when I'm at work, working a deal, that your presence, your person might be holy in the integrity of my ethics as a businessman. Hallowed be thy name. What is his name? What is his person all about? And is my passion for the greatness of his person to be manifest all around me? Well, how does this work itself out? You see on the, if you were to take your little worksheet there and flip it over, you see at the top of the page, what is his name? And then there's a whole list of names that address various aspects of the person of God. Look at those with me just for a moment. Hallowed be thy name. What is his name? The first name for God in the Bible, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, is the word El or Elohim. It's translated God. It means my strong God. It's found in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, Elohim. It's a plural name. It's gods. But whenever it's referred to as Jehovah God, it's translated in the singular to emphasize the unity of the plurality of the persons of the triune God. Elohim. And Elohim said to Elohim, let us make man in our image. There was plurality. There were three of them there. Three different persons, distinct from one another. But together they were one Elohim. They were one God in unity as the God of creation. The strength of God. The power of God. Another name for God found in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is the name Jehovah. It's the personal name for God that God gave to Moses. When Moses was going to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt, God said, tell Pharaoh that I am hath sent you. The self-sustaining Jehovah God. And then there's the name Adonai, which means my master. My master. And then there's all kinds of names that take the first name God, El or Elohim, and join it with another word to emphasize a particular characteristic of God. El Shaddai, the Almighty God. El Elyon, the highest God. El Rey, the God who sees. El Bethel, the God of the house of God. El Cana, God who is jealous. El Olam, God is everlasting. El Simkath-Gili, God is joy. El Gabor, God is strength. Each of these names emphasize the strength of God in a certain area of life. You know what it means to pray, hallowed be thy name. It means to spend some time chatting with your daddy about his person. Dad, you are the great El Simchith Gili. You are the God of joy in the ups and downs of life. If you go back and study that psalm where that name for God is given, the psalmist is going through ups and downs and turmoils, and his life is like a roller coaster. And in that roller coaster experience of the ups and downs of life, God gave a name for himself. He says, I am the God whose strength in your joy in the seasons and upheavals of life. Talk to your father about that. God, I'm kind of down today. I got something on my plate and I don't know how I'm going to handle it. This is a down time. But God, I know you're El Simchith Gili. You're the God who even on the bad days, you are strong in bringing joy to my life, even in the struggles of life. You're talking to God about his character. You're talking to God about his person as given in his names. And then there's all the Jehovah names for God. Jehovah Makedesh, the God, Jehovah who sanctifies. Jehovah Jireh, the Jehovah sees and provides. And go down the list. All these names for God that are given throughout the Bible, given to us that we might understand what's in a name. For God, hallowed be thy name. Oh God. And what my life is dealing with right now, and the struggles I'm having at work right now, and all the things that are happening in my life right now. God, Dad, can I just talk to you for a bit? Because I know that you are. And then talk to him about his name. You know, that's quite a list of names. Can you imagine how long it would take for you to pray if you were to pray and talk to God about all those names? Some people say, you know, how can you pray for 15 minutes? I don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. I got a suggestion for you. Go to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? Would you teach us to pray like John taught his disciples? And Jesus will tell you, well, talk to God about his person that's revealed in all of his names. And after about 5 days of doing that, 24/7, come and tell me you don't have anything else to talk to me about. Hallowed be thy name. There's a conversation that can be had with God, a conversation about his person as revealed in his names. We could talk for hours about the character, about the person of God in his names. Here's a second conversation where this prayer subject could play itself out in your prayer life. Let me give it to you as a question. What is he like? What is he like? A name speaks of a person that reveals the characteristics of that person. What is this God like? We sometimes call these his what? Somebody fill in the blank for me. What is it? His attributes. Attributes are characteristics of a person. When we study the attributes of God, we're studying the characteristics of God that we learn in the stories of the Bible where God is dealing with man, and we observe God's dealings or God's names, and we learn some characteristics, some attributes of God. God's attributes reveal what he is like as a person. And so I can go to my Heavenly Father and I can say, Dad, I know that you are the God of all comfort. You told me that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You told me that you're the God of all comfort. God, I know that in this turmoil I'm going through right now, I've lost a family member. I'm suffering with the loneliness of a death in the family, and I'm lonely. And God, I know that you're God of all comfort. Dad, could you help me and comfort my heart? Because I know you're the God of all comfort. I want the world to say that you are a God of comfort. I remember when Betty's dad died, we were down in Roanoke to attend the annual board meeting of Christ Life Ministries. I was there for the board meeting. Betty was there because they'd served dinner. And we have a good time with the people there and the wives there, and especially the dinner, a really good meal. So anyway, we went down on Monday. The board meeting was Tuesday morning. We drove down on Monday. And Monday night, Betty got a call. Her dad had died. We got in the morning and we went to the board meeting. And my wife told the Vaughns, Harold and Debbie Vaughn, that her dad had died last night. And so after the meeting, after we eat dinner and all, we'll be going back and just pray for me. Harold Vaughn pulled me off to the side. He said, "I don't get it. How are you guys able to function? How are you holding it together? How is Betty able to stay here for you to go to the board meeting and to eat dinner? I want the world to see that my God is a God of great comfort. It doesn't mean I don't have pain. It doesn't mean I'm not dying over some trial or tribulation. But my God is a God of comfort. And He can comfort me. Now, everyone handles things differently. I understand that. There's human personality and characteristics and situations and all that. But in it all, God is a God of comfort. And Jesus says, would you talk to your dad for a while? I just want you want to know how to pray? Don't barge into the presence of God with a list of demands of what you want Him to do for you. Say, "Hey, Dad, can we talk a while about you? Could we talk about you being a great God of comfort?" If you were to look on the backside of your little worksheet there, you see, what is God like? Talk to Him about what He's like. And you see a whole list. Comfort happens to be the first on the list of whole list of attributes of God. "Dad, could we just talk a little bit about you, what you're like?" That's an amazing conversation to have with God. A conversation with God about the attributes of God, what God is like. He's a God of comfort. He's a God that's eternal. He never started. He'll never end. Talk to God for a little bit about, talk to your dad about a little bit about what it's like to have never started, never going to end. Always been. He's faithful. He's dependable. He's never going to let you down. He's never going to just walk out on you. He's faithful. Well, that can be a wonderful conversation with your dad about how that you have so much security in Him because you never have to worry about Him just being gone. Never being there anymore for you. He's good. He always does good. Grace. He gives us what we don't deserve. He's holy. He's immutable. He never changes. He's not fickle. It's not, "Oh, you mean I can't get to heaven by faith anymore? Now how do I have to get to heaven by? God, I don't know. What's it going to be tomorrow? What are you going to be like next month, God?" He's not fickle. He's immutable. He said, "I am God. I change not." You know how great it is to have a dad who's you can always count on Him being the same. What an amazing God. These are all characteristics of God that we can talk to God about when we talk to God about God. When we talk to God about His person being special, hallowed, unique, set apart, present, and influential in my life at work, at home, when I'm by myself, when I'm busy at work, talking to God about God. You could talk to your heavenly dad for hours about what He's like and about your passion for what He's like to become special in your world. What's it like at your office where you work? What's it like with your co-workers? Is His name cursed day after day, hour after hour? Is the subject matter of jokes and laughter that which is appalling to the person of your God? Then talking to your dad about His name becoming hallowed in your office is to talk to Him about how you desire that your passion for His hallowedness might start a ball rolling that will cause His person to be hallowed in the place where you work. You could talk to your father for a little while about that, I'm sure. There's a conversation about His names. All the names. There's a conversation about His attributes, His character traits that come from passages of Scripture that don't have a name in it, but teach a character trait of God. And then there's a final conversation. The final conversation is this question: what is His role in my life? What is His relationship with me personally? This amazingly heavenly dad is involved in my life. How is He involved in my life? What is His relationship to me? What is His person in my life? How do we relate together as two people? He is my dad and me as His son. What is the relationship we have? And can we chat about that relationship? Can we talk a little bit about that relationship? Can I go to my dad and say, "Dad, I'd like to talk to you about our relationship"? Well, what is our relationship? Well, you see again on the back of the little worksheet, you see four relationships that I wrote, that I typed out. One is my Creator. He's the one who created everything that exists, which means He created me. I breathe in air at His pleasure. I exist because He chose to create me. I live as His creation for His glory, for His enjoyment, for His purposes. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 teaches us that. And so I can talk to my Father a little bit about my relationship. He's my Creator. God, I exist today because of Your pleasure. You're the one that gives me life. I breathe Your air. I eat food that was grown because of Your sunshine and Your rain. God, I exist today because You have brought me into existence and imparted life to me. God, what do You want me to do for You today? I am Yours. You own me by creation. And not only is He my Creator, but He's my Savior. He's the one that rescued me when I messed everything up. When I made all the wrong decisions. When I rebelled against His law. When I said, "I'll do it my way." All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. God, thanks, but no thanks. I'll do it my way. I'll live like I want to live. I'll go where I want to go. I'll do what I want to do. Thanks, God, but no thanks. I'll do it my way. Like a little sheep wandering away from the shepherd. And then as the night falls and the howls of the wolves can be heard. And like a little sheep, I begin to shudder in the cold because I can't see very good. Because sheep have really bad eyesight. And I have no way to defend myself because sheep have absolutely no natural way of self-defense. I am totally helpless. I am prey to anything that wants to destroy me because of my decision to go my way. And then God, all of a sudden, I could hear the shepherd's voice calling my name down the ravine. "Mike, Mike, oh, there's the voice. I know that voice. That's the voice of the shepherd. He's coming to rescue me from the mess I've made of my life. He's my Savior. He's the one who saves me and rescues me from me, from my decisions, my sinfulness, my rebellion against His plan and purpose for my life. My Savior came into my life and rescued me. He's my Redeemer. The way He saved me was He put the precious blood, the price of His precious blood on the line. And He paid on Calvary as He took my place and bore the penalty of my sin that He might redeem me." You know, I can talk to my dad about my relationship, His role in my life. the one who went to the cross for me, suffered in my place as my Redeemer. And then He's my sustainer, Colossians 1 says. He's the glue that holds my life together. He's the one that keeps me all going in the right place. He's the one that sustains me day by day. It's a conversation with my dad about his roles in my life. The relationship that we have. He's my creator. He's my savior, my redeemer, my sustainer. These are conversations that we can have with God. All three conversations all come down to the same thing. Hallowed be thy name. Your person revealed by your names. Your attributes that speak of your character. The relationships that we have that speak to the role that you play in my life. God is special. Hallowed to me. And I want Him to be hallowed in the lives of my family members. And I want Him to be hallowed in the church. And I want Him to be hallowed in the community. And I want Him to be hallowed at work. And I want Him to be hallowed at my desk while I am looking at the computer screen. And I want Him to be hallowed in the family room when I turn the television on and choose what movie to watch. I want His name to be hallowed there. It's a communication with God that is the launch into prayer. Hey, Dad, way up there in heaven, could I talk to you about your interests? And could I start with talking to you about you? Who you are in my life. You know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. How do you pray without ever stopping? Prayer without ceasing is a life seeing the person of God in every situation and in every circumstance of life. It's a God consciousness that He is involved in this action I'm taking, this relationship that I have with a person, this ethic that I'm following in my business dealings. He is a person in every situation, and I want Him to be set apart as special and holy. And when He's attacked, it grieves me. When He's attacked in the media, it hurts me. When He's attacked in the school system or the business community or the entertainment world or in any part of life, when God is attacked, it grieves me. That's my God. That's the person of my Jehovah, my Elohim, my Adonai. His name, His person is not being hallowed in this situation. And it hurts me, oh God, that Your name, that Your person could be hallowed in this circumstance and situation. It's to become an advocate for the person of God in life. It's to become an advocate that will stand up for God in life. God, may Your name be hallowed in every situation that I find myself in. And so prayer begins with conversing with our dad up in heaven about His person. How He is viewed as holy by the world around us. And when I spend time talking to Him about Him, an amazing thing happens. I change. My time communicating with God about God changes me. And my prayer ceases being an exercise in getting God to do what I want Him to do for me. And it becomes a mechanism that changes me into His character. And all of a sudden, we're moved into the realm of God consciousness, and we become aware of how God as a person is viewed, and we begin to think as God thinks and see as God sees, and we develop a passion for the person of God. Prayer begins with hallowed be thy name. Because of that, that list of names and attributes and relationships is the source of our prayer sheets every week in the first section that encourages us to spend time in prayer focused on God. And every week in our prayer sheets, those of you who are in a Bible study fellowship class this morning, from teenagers through all of the adult classes, you got a prayer sheet this morning. The prayer sheet that you got this morning had at the very top of it an encouragement to spend time focusing on God in your prayer life. And under that heading, there will be a relationship with God. It'll either be Creator, Savior, Redeemer, or Sustainer. Then there will be usually two characteristics of God, two of that list, and there will be one name for God. And each of these are on rotating lists, so they rotate up and go onto the prayer sheets on rotation as a suggestion. A suggestion as to how you might spend time in prayer talking to your dad, who's way up there in heaven, and spend some time talking to him about him. Because he is worthy of our time talking to him about him.